Okay, we're going to be looking at the problem of forgetfulness today. And I know the first thought that comes to my mind is that, comes to all of our minds perhaps, is that forgetfulness is a humorous problem to have. And it is. And there was this couple, extremely forgetful couple. Both of them were extremely forgetful, both the husband and the wife. And they were watching a movie one night, sitting up on their bed. You know what happens when you watch a movie? You feel hungry. Right? You search for something. And the wife turns to the husband and says, "Darling, could you please get me some ice cream there in the fridge?" And he gets up from the bed, he's about to go, and the wife says, "Hang on, I know you're forgetful, please write it down." He says, no, the kitchen is just 30 seconds away, I'm not going to forget." And he goes, and he says, "No, hang on. She says, "Hang on." And she says, "Would you mind slicing some strawberries and putting that on the ice cream and bring?" He said, "Sure, honey." And he's about to go, and she calls him again, "I know you're forgetful, why don't you write it down?" And he says, "Don't be silly." Right? And he sets off again. And she says, hang on. "There's also a little bit of cream. Would you mind topping that up?" And he says, "Sure." Now she says, "Repeat what I said." He said, "Ice cream, strawberry, and cream." "Still write it down, please. I know you're going to forget." He said, "No way I'm going to forget. I'll make sure I get it." So he walks up to the kitchen. And she's caught up in the movie. And he comes back 10 minutes later with a nice fluffy omelette. And she looks at him, she gives him that stare. "Didn't I ask you to write it down? See, you forgot my toast." So forgetfulness is a humorous problem. Forgetfulness is also a tragic problem. I want to share a story from my life. When I was 19 and I first became a follower of Jesus, there was this wonderful man who took me under his wings. I'm not going to mention his name and you'll understand why in a little bit. He took me under his wings. He bought me my first real Bible. He taught me how to read the Bible. He helped me read through the Bible in the first year. 1 year after I became a believer, he helped me read through the Bible. He bought me a beautiful memory verses kit, you know, imported from Singapore 20 years ago. You know, anything imported was just really fancy. And it was so cool. They had these nice, you know, cards with the verses. Some of the verses I memorized, I still remember. He took me under his wings. He discipled me before I even knew the meaning of the word discipleship. He had fun with me. He did so many wonderful things for me. Much of the foundation of my life, which is in my faith, which is still built on, I think he has, God used him to build the foundations of my faith. Now, I spent about a year and a half with him under his wings. But I came to realize, and I found out, that he had an extramarital affair. And when I heard that, the first time I discovered that, I am now ashamed of how I reacted to that. I can't explain it. All I know is I'm ashamed of how I reacted. When I first came to know of it, I was so harsh on him. I was so critical of him. I judged him. I condemned him. I spoke such cruel words about him. What had happened? I had forgotten all the good things, all the undeserved things he had done for me, and I could only remember that extramarital affair. So I forgot. I know maybe some of us have friendships which have turned bad. Good, beautiful relationships which have turned bad just because of one incident. Maybe you did it, maybe somebody else did it. Friendships gone bad because we choose to forget so many things and we choose to remember just one thing which turned the relationship bad. It's not a direct parallel. Sometimes our relationship with God is also like that. We all have had unanswered prayers. Once in a while, God chooses in His wisdom not to answer a prayer because He has a better plan for us. But until that better plan is revealed, when God doesn't answer a prayer, we get so angry, upset, bitter, lose our faith, stop trusting God, and we forget all the good things that God has done. That is the problem of forgetfulness that I want to talk about. as we sung many beautiful songs today, I want to read for us a song from the Bible. In the middle of the Bible is a book called Psalms. It's a collection of 150 Psalms. We're going to read one Psalm today. It's Psalm 103. I'm going to request Roshni to read that Psalm out aloud for us.
Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always refuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, you who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul.
Thank you. We're going to be spending much of our time this evening on the first five verses, and I'd like to read that again for us. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We're going to be looking at three things today. We're going to be looking at the real problem of forgetfulness. We're going to be looking at the solution to forgetfulness. But you know, guess what? You're very vulnerable to forget the solution as well. So we're going to be looking at one thing that can serve as a frequent reminder to the solution. So that's what we're going to be doing today. Let's start by looking at the problem. This psalm is about 22 verses of beautiful, soul-stirring, extravagant praise unto God. But tucked in these 22 verses are six surprising words of warning. And forget not all His benefits. And forget not all His benefits. I would think it's a downright silly thing to say in this psalm. Absolutely silly thing to say in this psalm. If I have a God who's forgiven me all my sins, and whose love for me is as high as the heavens are above the earth, where is the need to say, forget not all His benefits? If I have a God who's wiped away my iniquity as far as the east is from the west, where is the need to say, forget not His benefits? I don't know how many of you have had a meal at Barbecue Nation. It's one of my favorite joints in Mumbai. If you haven't been there, it's quite an experience. As soon as they seat you on a table, there's a huge hollow in the middle of the table. And you wonder what that hollow is, and they bring a hot piping hot barbecue and plonk it right in the middle of your table, so you have a barbecue exclusively to your table. And then the food starts coming. All kinds of meats, all kinds of vegetables. I like vegetarian more than meat, so all kinds of vegetables. I know some of you will laugh at a vegetarian barbecue, but I like that. So all kinds of meat, all kinds of vegetarian, and you eat, you take that hot off the barbecue which is there in your table, and you can have as much as you want. And you finish and you stuff yourself with all the meat, and then you look to your left and there's this huge spread of a buffet meal. The meal is just about starting. And then you finish the meal, lovely counter for desserts. That's Barbecue Nation for you. They haven't paid me to advertise. Now imagine when you get the bill, right on top of the bill, it says, "Forget not all you have eaten." That's silly, isn't it? How can you forget? It's so sumptuous. The meal was so sumptuous. Similarly in the psalm, to have the words, "Forget not all his benefits," is a downright silly thing to say. Except for the fact that we do forget. We do forget pretty much every single day all the good things that Jesus has done for us. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by saying we all forget what Jesus has done for us? We never forget the fact that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead. We never forget that fact. But every day, all of us are vulnerable to forget the experience of it. We are so vulnerable to forget, as Sintila was sharing right at the beginning of worship, this person who said, we are no longer stunned by God. We've lost our awe of God. We lose our sense of the beauty of what Jesus did for us. And that is what we keep forgetting. What's the difference between remembering the fact of Jesus dying on the cross and forgetting the beauty of it? Now, let me try and explain it to us by looking at a couple. Imagine a couple who just got married, right? They've spent their first night together and they're waking up in the morning. What do you think is the first thought that's going to come up in their minds? The first morning of their wedding, as soon as they wake up, what's the one thing you're going to think of? I still remember what Aji and I thought of when we woke up on the first day of our marriage. You know what my thought was? We are married. My heart was full of remembering that we were married. Cut 10 years later, it's been 13 years that we were married, I can assure you, in the last many, many, many years, I've never woken up remembering that we are married. We never forget the fact. Aji and I have never forgotten the fact we are married, but the beauty of the truth that we are married. The sense of joy, the sense of, you know, celebration, that sense of excitement is not there every day. And that's what I mean by saying we never forget the fact that Jesus died for us and rose again from the dead. But the beauty of what Jesus did for us on the cross, the vividity of what Jesus did for us on the cross, the immediacy of what Jesus did for us on the cross is something we forget every single day of our lives, except in times of worship like this, perhaps. Now, this thing about us who are followers of Jesus, I dare say, is less visible and apparent to us than those of us who are not followers of Jesus. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm sure at some point of time or the other, you've looked at us who are followers of Jesus and you've thought that their behavior is hardly like someone who worships a God who died for others. And you know what? You will be right. 90% of the time, I dare say, my behavior doesn't reflect the beauty of the God that I worship. I worship a God, Jesus, who died. I worship God who became sacrifice for others. My life doesn't reflect that. So it's quite possible someone who's not a follower of Jesus is going to look at me and say, "Hey, they don't match up." You know, that's exactly what Mahatma Gandhi said. He said, "I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians because you Christians are so unlike your Christ. You know? If you're not a follower of Jesus, now you know what our problem is. As followers of Jesus, we forget the beauty of what he has done. Often our lives don't reflect the God we worship. That is to our shame. That is to my shame. So please feel free to discredit us for our behavior, but please do not discredit Christ for our behavior. May I ask you humbly, not to make your problem with Christians your problem with Christ. We are like this because we are so forgetful. We keep forgetting the beauty of what Jesus did for us. There was a little bit of an aside. I did want to share that. But let's go back to the problem of forgetfulness. Why do I forget? Why do we forget? I want to give us a slice of life from Mumbai. I'm going to go back to using an example of a couple again. It's quite common in Mumbai or any other city, last city in the country, for a couple to fall in love, get married, and before they realize it, they've fallen in love with each of their careers. And before they realize it, they've actually begun to love their careers more than they love their spouse. I think that's a challenge of the city. It's happened so many times. I know it because I've done that. Yeah? The Bible talks about our relationship with God and with Jesus, often using marriage as an analogy. When we start loving our careers, when we start finding our careers more beautiful than we find Christ, the Bible calls that adultery. That's what the Bible calls us. Now, I've gone through this phase of loving my career a lot more than I love Jesus. You know, there was a time in my life for one full year I was so busy chasing my career that I had no time to go to church. I had no time for anything to do with Jesus. Now, in all that one year, and perhaps some of us may have walked that journey, we never, even in the days we are worshipping our career and not worshipping Jesus, even at that time, we never forget the fact that Jesus died for us and rose again from death. We never forget the fact, but the beauty of what he did is totally lost on us. So let me put it another way. Affections rule our hearts more than knowledge. Affections rule our hearts more than knowledge. Let me give you an example. I guess every one of us, without exception, at some point of time in our lives or the other, would have followed a diet. Yeah? We all know what dieting is like. Imagine you're on a diet, and today at 11:30, there's a really delicious dessert that's served up to you. It's the most exotic dessert you've ever seen, right? And it's so full of calories, but it's yum, right? That's there. And this is what you're going through. You know the fact that if you eat that dessert at 11:30 tonight, you're going to weigh 1 kilo more tomorrow morning. You know, you have that knowledge, but your heart's affections have been put on that dessert. Who do you think is going to win? 9 times out of 10, more often than not, I think the affections of the heart will overrule the knowledge of the fact. That's what happens to us. We remember the fact, but when our affections, and when the affections of our heart move away from Jesus to something that seems more beautiful, we lose our love for Jesus. We forget the beauty of what Jesus did for us. Now, let me tell you that you can summarize the story of the Bible with this. The entire story of the Bible is about how God's chosen people kept forgetting God again and again and again and again and again, like how every one of us, myself the first, keep forgetting the goodness of God again and again and again. I want to just give you, share one verse with us which captures this beautifully. I'll give you the context before I bring up the verse for us. God chose His people, God chose a group of people to reveal Himself to the rest of the world. These people were the nation of Israel. For 400 years they were enslaved in a country called Egypt. And God raised up a leader called Moses to lead these people out of Egypt. And Moses leads these people out of Egypt. They spend 40 years in the wilderness before they actually come to the to the cusp of the land God has given them, and they're going to set foot into the land. And this verse I'm going to share with you is what Moses shared with his people at that moment in history. Let me read that out for us. Moses tells all these people, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be in your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead." So that the picture that I used of a string tied on a finger is drawn from this. Why do you tie something to your finger? To remind yourself to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Why did Moses ask them to tie something on the foreheads? Because we can remind each other to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Write them on your door frames of your houses, on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and they were the forefathers of these people, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you do not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you do not provide, with increments you do not deserve, wells you do not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you do not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. So Moses is telling the people that you're about to enter new cities, and in these cities are many affections which are good, God-given things which God's going to give you. But when you enjoy these affections, when you eat and are satisfied, remember that these are not more beautiful than God. Remember to love God more than you love all of these things. That's the problem of forgetfulness. We forget the gospel. We forget the good news of what Jesus did for us. We never forget the fact that Jesus died for us, but we forget the depth of the beauty that Jesus died for us. That's the problem of forgetfulness. I want to look at the solution to forgetfulness. We go back to the psalm again. On the face of it, the simple solution to the problem of forgetfulness is praise the Lord. I think that's the most abused phrase in all of Christianity. You know, the way we say praise the Lord without really meaning it, is not funny. So on the face of it, we think praise the Lord is the solution to forgetfulness. Yes, it is part of the solution, but that's not the fullness of the solution. To be absolutely honest with you, there's so many times in my life where I don't feel like praising God. I'm so caught up in my problems. I'm so fixated on my anxieties. I just don't feel like praising God. That's a slice of my life. Now, so just praising the Lord is too simplistic a solution. I want us to think, what is David doing here? I'm going to read the first quote. Praise the Lord, my soul. O my soul. In another translation, there's an O which adds to the depth of this verse. All my most being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What is David doing here? Is David praising God? Let me submit, David is not praising God here. On the face of it, this may seem to be a psalm of praise. In truth, it is not a psalm of praise. This is a psalm where David is pleading with his soul to praise the Lord. This is a psalm where David is beseeching his soul to praise the Lord. This is a psalm where David is coaching his soul to praise the Lord. This is a psalm where David is pleading with his soul to praise the Lord. Why would David do that? Let me give you another example. Let's say I'm counseling a couple, right, whose marriage is kind of struggling. And I kind of listen to them and I kind of understand. And I go up to the man, I take him aside and I say, hey, you know what? I think it'll be good if you cherish your wife a little more. I think it'll be good if you're a little more sensitive to what she's going through. And finally, I go for the kill. I say, I think it'll be good if you love your wife more. Why would I say that? I would say that only if I think he's not loving his wife. Similarly, David is beseeching his soul to praise the Lord because he knows that his soul is not praising God. And that's the solution to forgetfulness, the problem of forgetfulness, to preach the beauty of the gospel to your soul. Our mind knows the facts of the gospel, but our hearts, our souls often forgets the vividity, the beauty, the immediacy of the gospel because our souls are so unfaithful, because our hearts are so adulterous. That's the solution to the problem of unforgetfulness. And that's what we sung in that song, Love Came Down. I'd like to read those verses, the words that we sung. If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear your voice, I'll hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life they come and the road ahead gets steep, I'll lift these hands in faith, I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son. I'll remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son. That's preaching the gospel to us. That's the problem. That's the solution to the problem of forgetfulness, to preach the gospel to our souls. I know some of you are wondering, how on earth do I talk to my soul, whatever that is? How on earth do I preach the gospel to my soul? How do I do that? Now, there's this person called Paul Tripp. I've been reading his work a little bit. He's a counselor, but he counsels pastors. He helps pastors in their struggles. And he keeps asking whoever he's talking to this person. He says, who is the most influential person in your life ever? And I like us, all of us, to just think for a second and think of one name. You don't have to tell that to anyone. It's just for your mind. Who is the most influential person in your life ever? Now, let me tell you that whoever you thought of, your answer is wrong. Whoever you thought of, I don't know. I have no idea who you thought of. But whoever you thought of is wrong. And I know who is the most influential person in each of your lives. This is not me saying, this is Paul Tripp saying, so I'm saying it with confidence. Paul Tripp says, the most influential person in your life is you. Because nobody speaks to you as much as you do. Nobody preaches to you as much as you do. When you're anxious, who is doing all the talking to yourself? You know, we all know to preach the gospel to our soul. The question is, which gospel are we preaching? Are you preaching the gospel of not trusting God? Are you preaching the gospel of worry? Are you preaching the gospel of anxiety? You know, some of us preach the gospel of self-glorification to ourselves. If only I could achieve this in life, I think my life will be so good that everybody will be looking at me. I'm saying, wow. Some of us preach the gospel of success in a career to ourselves. And we think, if only I can get to this, if I get this degree, and if I get to this level in my job, my life will be settled. Some of us preach the gospel of romantic love to ourselves. If only this guy or girl notices me. And if I can get married to him or to her, my life will be so happy. Some of us preach the gospel of money and savings and the security that comes from money. It says, if I have so much bank balance, if I have so much savings, then I will step out and do everything, you know, whatever God asks me to do. We are preaching the gospel of money to ourselves. That's not the gospel David is preaching to himself. David is preaching to himself the gospel of God who loves him so much that he will forgive all his sins He will forget all his iniquities. And why is David preaching that to himself? Because his soul has forgotten the beauty of what God has done for him. David has forgotten the gospel, just as you and I forget the reality of the gospel. What do I mean we forget the gospel? I'll give you a quick example. Let's say my boss criticizes me on Monday morning. He says harsh word. I am so totally crushed. At that moment, I'll tell you, I'll be broken. I'll be crushed. I'll feel worthless. I'll lose all sense of worth that I have. At that moment, when I'm doing that, I am disbelieving the gospel. Why am I disbelieving the gospel? Because when God, the creator of heaven and earth, looks at me as a follower of Jesus, he looks at me only through Jesus, who lived a perfect life. And he sees the perfection of Jesus in me. And he says, Anand, you are my son whom I love. In you, I am well pleased. You are so beautiful in my sight. I've forgotten that. And I can only think that I feel so poor in my bosses. I forget the gospel every day, as I'm sure you do. David forgot the gospel. I want to ask us a question. I want us to really think about this question. What if God forgot the gospel? For one day. What if God forgot, as we so often forget, that Jesus, his beautiful, precious son, lived 33 years without a single sin, without a single blemish, died on the cross, taking your sins and mine upon himself, and rose again from the dead? What if God forgot the gospel? What would happen to us? Will God ever forget the gospel? God will never forget the gospel. And this psalm gives us that great assurance that as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our pain. He remembers. Thank God he remembers that we are dust. He remembers. He never forgets. God never forgets that we are dust. God never forgets that apart from Jesus, we can never have a relationship. God never forgets the gospel. And why am I so sure that God never forgets the gospel? Not because God is all-powerful, all-knowing, cannot forget. That's too abstract a God. I believe God will never forget the gospel because of that verse we sung again. That's why I requested the worship team to sing that verse again. I am yours. I am yours. All my day, Jesus, I am yours. It's easy for us to sing that song. But when God sings that song over us, you know, God has entered into a relationship with us by giving himself up to us. That's a covenant relationship. It's not a contract. It's a covenant. You first give yourself, because God has given himself up to us. He will never forget the gospel, because it's cost him, his son Jesus, to give himself up to us. Would you preach that to your soul tonight? Would you preach the good news of what Jesus has done to your soul tonight? And every time you have a struggle or encounter an anxious situation in your life. Now that's the solution to the problem of forgetfulness. But you know what? You're all going to forget it tomorrow morning. If not tomorrow morning, I'll forget it next week, the next time my boss criticizes me. Yeah? Or next time something bad happens, or some struggle, you're all going to forget it. So what do we need? We need daily reminders. And I'm going to spend just 5 minutes talking about one daily reminder of the gospel that is so important to all of us in New City. This is so crucial to the rhythm of life in New City. And I would like to take 5 minutes explaining this and explaining to you the heart behind this. And then we'll close maybe with that song again. The one thing one tool we use as a daily reminder of the gospel is something we call CBR. CBR, for those of us who don't know, stands for City Bible Reading. Now, most of us know what it is. We've looked at it. We've seen the book. For those of you who haven't, this is what it looks like. Right? It's a daily journal reading. Now, I'm going to just talk about why do we do this. To some of us, we enjoy this. We love this. So if you are that person, this should be a reminder of why we do this. Some of us do it without really understanding why we do it. So for those of us, I hope this helps you understand why we're doing this. Some of us don't like this. Why on earth should I fill 4 boxes every day? I'm not a kindergarten student. I'm an adult. Is the Bible not enough? Can't I just read the Bible and be okay with it? Why do I need to do this? I'm going to just take 5 minutes. If anyone here who doesn't have this, do let me know. We have copies of this for everyone. We'll be happy to share that with you. It's our joy to share that with you. So I'm going to just take us through 4. So what we do is, we try and read at least 1 chapter of the New Testament every day. And if possible, we read 1 chapter of the Old Testament. It's not always possible. So 1 chapter of the New Testament. And from that chapter we read, what we do is we try and write down, what can I adore God for in that chapter? Yeah? We focus on God first. We write down His love, His mercy, His compassion, His sovereignty, whatever we find about God in that passage, we write it down. And that's the first box, adore and praise God for His attributes and actions. Now, once we've looked at God, we shift our focus and we look into our souls. We look into our hearts. And we ask, and we try and see, from this portion of the Bible I've read, what is the sin in me that I can see? And this brings a daily habit of repenting. And that's what we do in filling the second box. It's looking at our sins, looking at the wickedness in us that we can see from this passage of the Bible that we've read. And we write that down and we repent for it. Now, when you've seen God in His beauty, and when you've seen your souls, when I've seen my soul in all its wickedness, when you have this contrast of the beauty of God and the wickedness of my soul, where do I go to? Where can I go to except the cross? Where God took all this wickedness of mine, Jesus took all this wickedness of mine upon Himself, and gave me His perfect record. So that's the third box I fill. I thank Jesus for His salvation. Past, present, and future. Another day, we'll explain what past, present, and future means to one of them. I go back to the cross, and I thank Jesus. I say, forget not all His benefits. Yeah? Now, if I do these 3, what if I see this God who gave Himself up for me? What do I want to be? I want to be like Him. I want to change for the better. I want to improve, not in my strength, not to please Him, because I'm already accepted in His sight. He's already accepted me despite my sins. And in me grows a desire to overcome sin, to stop the bad habits, the wicked things that I end up keeping doing again and again and again. And the fourth box, I ask the Holy Spirit, whom we talked about at the end of worship, how God gives us His Spirit so that we continue to remain in that intimacy with Him, even though Jesus has risen up and is now in heaven. We ask the Holy Spirit, we ask God's Spirit to help change us. I think this movement of our eyes to the beauty of God, to the wickedness of my soul, to the cross where I am redeemed, and finally, step of faith in praying God would help me change. That's a beautiful way of reminding our souls of the gospel every single day. I think that's a beautiful way of preaching the gospel to our soul every day. I want to say there is no rocket science in this. I wish I had that book with me. There is nothing sacrosanct in these 4 boxes. If we find a better way to remind ourselves of the gospel every day, I will throw this book without a moment's notice and go for the better tool. The thing is not in the book. The thing is not in the box. right? We are not being legalistic and wanting to fill these four boxes every day. This is not a rule. This is just a tool. Without this tool, I've been reading the Bible most days of my life, maybe for 10 years. And in the last 6-7 months I've been using this tool, I've found myself reflecting more on the beauty of God. I've found myself seeing more of the wickedness in me. I've found myself going to the cross more, and I'm finding myself praying to the Holy Spirit more to transform. So this beautiful dance I do with the lover of my soul every morning, this is my love relationship with Jesus. This I do because it's a love discipline. I don't do this because it's a rule. I do this because I want to fall in love with Jesus again and again and again every single day of my life. I do this because I want my affections of the affections of my heart to be on Christ and Christ alone. I want to close in prayer after we sing the last song again. And I want to encourage you, if you find a better tool than this, reflect on the gospel and preach the gospel to your soul, tell me about it, please. We'll all start doing it. So that's really the one practical application I want to share with you. So we'll close with this song, and then I'll close in prayer.